So my name is Wafa Ali Mustafa. I'm Syrian. I'm a journalist and an activist, and I come from a small town near the city of Hama in Syria called Masyaf. And I come from a quiet, I would say, political liberal family. I have myself, and I have two other sisters. And I don't know how much can I say? It's never easy. It's just every time I'm overwhelmed by I don't know, images and sounds and voices and everything. But I just now see everything, my whole life, when I'm about to say anything. I think everyone in Syria knows that politics weren't something we talk about, weren't something you hear about actually in the street, at school, even at home, because walls have ears. But my dad has always been political. We've always talked, even when I didn't really understand what was going on, I could sense that something was always happening in our place. But then it's not only my dad, it's the whole life I've lived. I've spent like 10 years going with my dad every week from Masyaf to Damascus every Thursday after school to participate in protests that supported the Palestinian cause, Iraq, and obviously all was about other countries and other places, but we all knew that it was also about this country and about us. So I guess I was 10 or 9 when I first went on a protest with my dad. And we did this ritual for years. And I was in my 3rd year. The revolution started. I stopped my studies. There was a call for this strike called the Dignity Strike. And I participated. I just didn't go to exams. I didn't go to school any to school anymore. And I got arrested in beginning of September. Actually, today is the anniversary, a very nice memory. Just like today, I guess, after midnight, I got arrested in 2011 with my sister, my cousin, and my two friends. And at the same time, my dad was also arrested in Hama. So my mom had her husband and her two daughters actually arrested in two different cities. And yeah, we got released after my sister got released the next day. I got released a few days later. Some of them were there for my whole life. Some just disappeared after a while. I guess they just maybe fought over politics or whatever with my dad. But there was always a discussion in our place. And my dad wasn't like, you shouldn't be listening to that, you know? He wouldn't, I was very young. He wouldn't say sit and listen, but I was obviously curious because this is the surrounding I grew up having and living with. And I guess it was that moment when I was wondering, so if we are in support, why don't we do nothing? And I guess it was the moment where my dad said something very direct, like, yeah, we like the government that rules this country pretends that they are in support and that they are doing much and but they are actually not. And that was very brief, but that was, I guess, the most direct like moment where my dad told me something like that. And then I guess I just it just developed with the years. And yeah, I mean, but also it's there were many, many elements because in school, at school, like everyone, even teachers and stuff, Masyaf is a very small town, so everyone knows what other people's, like, I don't know, political opinions. So everyone at school knew that my dad was against the regime, and my dad was arrested in year 2004, I guess. Something happened in Masyaf, and it wasn't, it's difficult to explain, but But some kind of fight happened. The direct reasons weren't political, but because of that, many people were arrested, and my dad was amongst those. And everyone at school was like, "Yeah, your dad is arrested because he's against the regime and because he did that and that." And so it wasn't only something I knew. Everyone at school knew that my dad was against the regime, and it wasn't obviously only my dad. There was like a group of people in Masyaf who were very like famous for that. They meet and they are against the regime, and they do stuff. And but I guess yeah, it wasn't like I cannot say that, or at least I just feel that it's not fair to say that I remember the moment. I just have a sense that it was the year 2000. And because of the moment of the Intifada, I don't even remember like the moment the revolution started in Syria, or I don't even remember like that I was sitting and then I made the decision that I will just go and protest. It wasn't like that because before the revolution started in Syria, because everything happened in Daraa and even in Damascus. There were these demonstrations in front of the Egyptian and the Tunisian and then the Libya embassy. And for me, I've always said that the protest in front of the Libyan embassy was very crucial because it was the moment where the police attacked us. So we were there for 2 days. First day was fine, but then next day, the second day wasn't actually. People started chanting something like against Gaddafi, obviously, but we and the police knew that it wasn't only about him and about what's going on in Libya. And at some point, they felt very attacked, so they actually attacked the protest. And many people were arrested, and many people were beaten. And I've mentioned that many times. I was slapped by an officer because actually at that point I had a necklace of the Palestinian map. I've had this for 10 years before that day, and he slapped me in the face and said that you Palestinians shouldn't interfere in a Syrian political situation, something like that, because he thought that I was Palestinian. So for me, that was the moment where I felt that it started in Syria. This is not gonna just happen and then we're all gonna forget about it. And actually, yeah, I mean, a few days later, everything started in Daraa and in Damascus. And it wasn't a question for me. I don't even remember. I don't even remember the first time. I don't remember what did I do. What did I don't remember details. I just remember that I was there. It wasn't a question. I didn't think whether I should do it or not. I didn't even discuss with my family or anything because I was back then in Damascus, and my family, my mom, my dad, my youngest sister were in Masyaf, but me and my younger sister were in Damascus. So I didn't even call my dad, or we didn't discuss anything. I remember that when the revolution happened in Egypt, I was in Masyaf, and my dad and I didn't actually sleep for days. We were actually some if he goes to sleep, I would stay awake. And if I go to sleep, we did shifts, like literally, because we were very excited, and obviously Egypt was also something very like I don't know, for my dad was also something very important. So we spent days just waiting, actually watching the news and waiting for the moment. And but then I went back to Damascus, and I don't remember that I even called my dad when everything had started in Syria. I just went on a protest, and then I guess I first time I remember that I called him was on the 25th of March, when the protest was near the Umayyad Mosque. because I actually I was about to get arrested there, and yeah, for some reason they knew that I was from Masyaf, and unfortunately for all the silly, stupid reasons, they just let me go. Because I was actually from Masyaf, so they assumed that I am pro the regime. And unfortunately, there is, like, for years on checkpoints, I was let go because I was from Masyaf. They would think that, yeah, I mean, she's from Masyaf, they are loyal. And even sometimes in protests, like I was protesting like every day in Midan, which is like a neighborhood in Damascus, and it is a conservative area. But I was there every day, and they would see me, and they would never suspect that I was protesting the minute they see that I'm from Masyaf. Yeah, and that actually happened. But I mean, it's almost funny. When I got arrested, I was beaten even more because I was from Masyaf. Yeah, definitely. Because the question was always like, what did you need? Like, you're from Masyaf. How come? How dare you? And why are you protesting with these people from this and this? Like, they are not things that they tell everyone in who's not actually from, like, Damascus, for example. And even like during the interrogations, the officer was always like, how did you, like, weren't you scared to go to Midan? You know, they are Sunnis, they will kill you, blah blah blah. I don't even like, usually I don't really talk about this because it was really funny for me. And I was quite young, and I didn't actually know. And I told him that my answer was, oh no, they're very nice, they're very good people, and you should go there and see. And he didn't like that, and he kept calling me stupid, because and at some point he asked me, like, are you really, like, giving me these answers? Are you stupid? Why are you doing that? And I didn't know. And at some point, to be honest, I trying to pretend that I'm stupid, because I thought that that would be better. If he thinks that I'm stupid, then obviously it's because he was actually asking me, why am I against the regime, and why don't I like the president? And I actually tried to explain, but he would beat me every time I say anything. So, and then at some point I just said that, okay, so let's play stupid game. I'm stupid, I don't know, and I think that everyone is nice. And this did actually it didn't work as well. I just thought that I was arrested for, and unfortunately this, all Syrians feel the same. You feel that you've been arrested for a few days, it's not even worth talking about. Obviously the crime is still a crime, but when you see people been arrested for years, you just feel like, oh, I'm not gonna talk about it. But even after my dad got arrested, it just, yeah, you know, it's not important anymore, because that, at least it is the past, but it is the past against the fact that my dad is arrested, which is the past, the present, and I hope it wouldn't be the future. But it unfortunately it seems like this is the worst part. We're just this uncertainty. We don't even know if I don't even know if I will spend my whole life talking about this and waiting for my dad, but I hope not. It was Ramadan, and my dad was arrested. I was in Damascus with my sister, and then I learned that my dad was arrested from our home in Masyaf. But we knew actually at that point who arrested him. It was a branch in Hama, and we knew that he's accused of supporting terrorists, who were actually people who fled Hama after the regime attacked the city in Ramadan that year. And I mean, that my dad at that point did what everyone in Masyaf did. He just helped providing aid to people who fled from Hama. And he was arrested for that. But a few days later, actually, so it was Ramadan, you know, and then it was Eid, and my mom was like, just come back, we need to be together. And it was, I just couldn't. I told her that that I cannot go back home till my dad is there. And I didn't, because usually even if I'm in Damascus, we go back to Masyaf to spend like Ramadan and Eid together. But that year I couldn't. And so at that point, I guess it was the first time there was like a protest after midnight in Medan. And so I went there with my cousin. And the protest, as you know, was something like 20 seconds, maybe even less. And I had a friend who was calling me for days and asking me to meet. And I was like, for some reason, I just didn't. And I was like, yeah, I'm busy. Let's meet later, blah, blah, blah. And he called me while I was in the protest. And then my phone, I guess I dropped my phone and then I just kept running. And then I guess I was with my cousin waiting in the Bab Msalla Square. And I was fixing my phone and stuff. And then the same friend started calling. And I said, okay, let's. And it was at that point, it was something like 12 30 after midnight. And I was like, okay, just. I'm in this place, just come. And then I was standing with my cousin there, and it's tragic, you know. That moment was a lot happened. A friend of mine who was also in the protest passed by in a car and said, why are you here? Why are you still here? And I said, yeah, I'm waiting for this guy. He keep calling me and I just wanted to meet him before I go back. And then he said, let me take you home before you get arrested. And we laughed and I said, no, this is silly. I'm not gonna get arrested, whatever. And then he left. And this same friend unfortunately actually got arrested and was killed under torture 2 years later. But yeah, and then the same friend was calling me just I was waiting for him with my cousin, and then a man, a huge man, just came by and said, Mrs. Wafa, I didn't even realize that he called me by my name. And I said, yes. And then he said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm waiting for a friend. And then he said, can you look back? And then I did. And then they opened the car, like a van. And I see my friend there actually, blindfolded and handcuffed. And my answer was, yes, this is my friend. And then he said, let's go. Who is that? I said, this is my cousin. And then he told him, okay, so you come with us as well. So we were in the car, and then I was very, to be honest, I don't even know how that happened. I was very, very calm. And I said, can I know what's going on? It's funny, I laugh now because I don't even know. I don't even like I cannot understand where how did I do that. I just said, can I know what's going on? And then he said, well, of course you will know because we've been trying to get you for days. And I said, I don't understand. What is the problem? Let's discuss. And then he said, we'll discuss later. And I said, okay, so where are you? Where are we going? And then he said, we're going home. And I said, okay, so we're going to my place. Shall I give you the address? And then he says, no, we know the address. Yeah, and I guess in 2018, I joined Families for Freedom, which is a women-led movement whose relatives and loved ones are detained or forcibly disappeared or kidnapped, not only by Assad regime, but by ISIS, by al-Nusra, by Jaish al-Islam, by SDF. So I guess the main idea and the main goal is to ask for the freedom of all detainees in Syria. And with Feminists for Freedom, I guess I became maybe, I don't know, maybe more, not more active. I've always, I guess I would be, I would say I've always been active, but maybe I found more like effective channels, you know what I mean? And then this year, I was following the trial even before it started. I have some connections with the ECCHR. I knew people there, and I knew about this complaint even before it was decided to go to the court and everything. And when the hearings started actually in Koblenz, I wasn't thinking of going there or anything. I knew about it, and I was closely following what was going on. I know some of the witnesses. We've been talking about it, and I've been hearing from people about those witnesses, about what's going on. And you know, it wasn't on the media yet, but amongst us, those who knew about it, it was a huge thing. But I didn't have any expectations. I didn't even, like, I couldn't even imagine what will the trial look like, and what will Syrians think about it. And then the minute it started, and I saw the media attention and everything, I just had the feeling that we should be there. And it's very important on many different levels. Obviously, this is a huge step, as I've repeated this for many times. This is a huge step, but I was, I guess, concerned that it will be presented for Syrians as the justice for Syria. And I was sure that this is not it. Obviously, this is one step, and this is a huge step, but this is not justice. This is not what Syria and Syrians have been demanding for years. This is one step towards it, definitely, but this is not it, and this should not stop us from continuing what we are doing, because most importantly, we are now prosecuting Anwar Islam and another person, and this is important, but we are prosecuting them for crimes they've committed in the past, but these crimes are still happening. It's not only about my dad. Obviously, this is in the first place about my dad. But people are still actually getting detained now in Syria. So we should, I guess, I thought my main idea of going there was that we should use this platform and this historical moment to get even more attention and to get, I guess, to gather efforts and to say that we started all together, and this is important, and this is great, but we should keep going all together to save who we can save, because there are still people who we can save. If we will just say that, yeah, we did all we can, that's it, we are prosecuting criminals, it's very important, because this is also not only happening in Germany. Trials are also, I mean, or at least complaints are being filed in other countries, which is great. But this is the main idea I have about justice. Justice for Syria is Syrians and victims centered. So we should have a role in this. I'm not gonna just sit home and watch the news about Syrians being prosecuted in Germany by German authorities, which is great, but this is great because this is what we have now. But this is not the ideal idea we have about justice. Obviously, I want justice to be achieved in Syria by Syrians. I want those criminals to be prosecuted by us in Syria. But till then, what's going on now is good, but we all need to do more. All of us who actually feel that they can do more, or they can still do something. I think that was very important because getting to address the entity that we've been trying to address for years is crucial. It means that our efforts meant something and that there is a result. But to be honest, the main thing that is that we have no other option. Even in the moments that I knew that nothing will change, that this council will do nothing, I had no other option. This is not, I mean, just at least this applies only to me. I cannot force anyone else to do so, but at least for me, just being silent is not an option. Not only because of my dad, obviously, and this is definitely the main reason. It goes without saying, obviously. But even before my dad got arrested, I was active. I was doing stuff. I was trying my best. I was trying all possible ways for this revolution to achieve its goals. Maybe I will not get to see a free, democratic Syria. But at least I want to do my best to make sure that someone will in the future. Maybe not me, maybe not the next generation. But this is what my dad did. And this is what I want to do. I was just telling someone yesterday that I recently realized that for years I've been like going on events and stuff and talking about detention and detainees in Syria, but I didn't even mention my dad's name, you know? I was just like, yeah, my name is Wafa Mustafa and my dad is arrested. And I realized that after an interview with Al Jazeera, when they asked me about, like, they just asked me, can you tell us a memory of you and your dad? And I started crying, for I couldn't. It was the first time I felt that it's true. I actually do not talk about my dad as a human, as my dad. I talk about him as someone who's detained. And there are many reasons for that. But then I realized at some point that this is not fair for my dad. And it's not it's definitely not fair for myself. And yeah, recently I just started, like, I decided that, okay, every time I talk about this, I want to mention my dad's name. This is the least I can do. And it's, to be honest, it's not only that I do not talk about my dad in events and stuff. It's probably like maybe a defense mechanism or so, because it's more than anyone can take. I mean, I'm 30 and my dad has been now disappeared for 7 years. But this is not something you get used to. This is not something you accept. And this is actually, I'm not sure how healthy that sounds, but everything I do in my life is centered around my dad and the fact of his disappearance. I mean, for 7 years now, we've been trying just to know whether he's alive or not. We've tried everything. We've assigned many lawyers, we've paid money for people from the regime, people who have connections, just like all other Syrians. And at some point, I guess I just said that I think people who deserve most to witness this moment are the detainees, are my dad and all other detainees and those who are disappeared. And this one sentence actually led us to the idea of me going to Koblenz Definitely with the support of Families for Freedom and the Syria campaign. I didn't go there. I mean, I was there, I stood there by myself, but I didn't do that by myself, definitely. And so first time I went there with 61 photos and with the help of friends and great people from the Syria campaign, we did that, whatever. I sat there with the photos and we stayed there, I guess, for 2 or 3 days in a row. And then I was shocked by the... I just stood there. I did nothing. I was sitting there between among these photos. We were just talking to people who were passing by. They were asking, like, because the scene is very catchy, and people just didn't pass by. They stopped and asked, who are these people? Why there are kids? Why there are women? So we got to talk to people. We got to explain what's going on. But we also got to deliver this message to Anwar Islan himself. What happened actually is that next day I took a piece of paper. I wrote the information all Syrians write when someone asks you, when you ask someone for help to get information about someone who's detained, you do the same thing. You write information about their names, their father's names, their mom's names, birthplace, blah blah blah, detention date and stuff. So I did. I wrote something in Arabic and English, and I went to the lawyer, and I told him that I just want you to give this to Anwar Islam, and I want you to tell him that this, what families of detainees do, sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a day, and I don't want information about my dad. I know that he knows nothing, but I want him to look at that and think of the families of detainees who he knows about. Many people in Syria were arrested for no reason, and they all deserve justice. They all deserve to be free. But I'm not going to deprive my dad the right to say the reasons he was arrested and disappeared for. My dad was political, my dad was active, and many people were actually went into the streets, demanded freedom, justice, and democracy, and a state of law, and this is why they were arrested. The reasons are important. You cannot just talk about detainees as they are detained, but it doesn't matter why. It does matter why. The other day, I was talking to this mother who told me that, oh, I don't want you to share this video I translated because it says, because it has his her son's name, who's detained for now also 8 years. And I asked her why, and then she said, because I don't want to look selfish. It's not like my son is the only one who's detained in Syria. And that was very sad. And this is, I guess, most of the families of detainees, this is how we think, and this is how we act. But I'm trying now to change that because this is even unfair for us. Distancing ourselves from our loved ones is unjust. And this actually, it doesn't serve anyone. It doesn't help anyone.